Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, Wednesday, April 28th, 2021, last Wednesday in the month of April, 16 minutes past the hour, and just talking about a little bit of everything. If you want to call in any subject on your mind, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944, that's 740-383-9944, we'd love to hear from you. A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble today, 1210 until 1 p.m., then we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 410 to 5 p.m., and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 until 7 p.m. tonight here on this station.
Potpourri.
Potpourri, you have
it
right.
Oh, you pronounce it potpourri, not potpourri?
No, I don't think it's potpourri. Potpourri.
Potpourri.
Potpourri.
Okay.
740-383-9944 is the number. That's 740-383-9944. Well, we had Ayers Ratliff on, which you heard last week.
Yeah.
And we had the mayor on yesterday. And the committee was chosen on Monday night to investigate the auditor and the $1.28 million that was mistakenly paid to the state rather than the IRS. Now, the money has been recovered from the state now,
right. But
there's some questions about penalties and things of that nature. So the committee was chosen on Monday, and I believe I have this right, that the chair... Well, here's the three members. I think the chair is Jason Schauber, who is a Republican. Ayers Ratliff is on the committee, and so is Kai Mead,
okay. Who's
a Democrat. So by there's
one,
your three.
By one vote.
By one vote. So there are your three members investigating the $1.28 million. Now, a lot of people are unhappy about this.
Yeah, I'm sure. Now, does it seem strange to you that $1.28 million doesn't sound like very much money anymore?
Well, it's interesting to me that... this has gone this far.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why. And I'm not faulting either side at this point because I really don't know. I guess that's what this committee will do.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess I don't understand why people are angry or happy either way. The committee will find what they find and we'll go from there.
I don't think anybody has said it was intentional. It was more accidental, I believe, from both sides of that coin. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think both people are still saying it was a mistake.
Yeah.
I think both sides.
Yeah.
I think the problem is they don't feel they've been told why it happened or why weren't they told when it happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, it's kind of interesting, in small towns, and I still think of Marion as a small town, how we still think we can semi-cover stuff up. Like that murder down in North Carolina, was it, two or three days ago, where they're not showing the body cam and everything. I mean, they're trying to cover it up. We're getting to a point where if you're not transparent, you're guilty, it seems like. And that's one of the problems we're going to have with this because nobody's really been very transparent. And maybe it's because they can't be. I don't know.
Well, I do think the auditor believes he has been by releasing a timeline
of
what happened and saying he did make a mistake.
Yeah.
But I think my impression from what the mayor and what Ayers Ratliff have said is that they feel that he's not being totally honest, or they want to check and see if he's being totally honest.
Well, and the other problem is it took an awful long time to get all this out. I mean, how long ago did it happen? Over a year ago.
Well, I guess it's last June is when the mistake happened, but nobody was aware of it until February. And I think that is a big question.
Yeah. Why don't we have checks and balances on that sort of thing? Yeah.
And I think the biggest question of the whole thing and what's going to come out of it, you know, mark my words on this is...
Okay, we're marking
them. Mark them right here. Because people are saying, well, why do this? The state has returned the money. The IRS has been paid. Why are we going through this? Well, the reason is did he have the authority to pay the IRS when the money had not been recovered from the state? And if he didn't, which Ayers Ratliff said on this show last week, he did not think he did, and the mayor said yesterday that he tends to agree with Ayers Ratliff that he didn't have the authority to do that, then we don't... Is that a broken law? Is that a crime? Is that something that city council would rule on? Is that resignation? Is that... we're going to force you out. Does a vote come up? When you do something for that amount of money that you don't have the permission to do, what's the consequence?
Or maybe do we need to make a rule, a law, that says you can't do it? Maybe there it's so vague that there is nothing that says he was in the wrong. And if that's the case, maybe both sides would like to have a rule so that they know how to follow it.
Well, and I think that's what will come of this.
Yeah, I think
Did he have the authority to do that? Because I think the fear in the future is that if this is okay and this is brushed under the rug, then things like this could be done all the time.
Yeah.
By anybody.
Yeah. And you've got to have some sort of way of judging it. Otherwise, there could be some very criminal things that are done with that as an excuse, I think.
But it's also very clear from the auditor's press releases, and even at the bottom of his timeline, he feels this is politically motivated.
Well, I think everybody thinks everything's politically motivated right now.
Well, the problem is that if you looked at it from the outside, you might think that, because Ayers Ratliff, who I guess you would say helped choose this committee and is sitting on this committee, is a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are two Democrats and one Republican on this committee.
Mm.
And the mayor's a Democrat. So, you know, I can see how people would see that. Now, is that the truth? I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I can see why people who like the auditor and are in favor of the auditor and are good Republicans might think that.
How in the world did a city that is right now it's kind of governed by Republicans, how in the world did they allow that to happen, that two Democrats and one Republican would sit on that committee plus the mayor?
Well, I think it was left up to Ayers.
Okay.
Because I think he was
so
chosen.
Yeah. A mistake.
Well,
I mean, as far as the Republicans are concerned, it might have been.
Well, I don't think the Republicans had control of city council.
Okay.
And that's where this is all happening.
Okay. All right. I got you.
Yeah, because the Republicans...
I thought they did. That's...
No, because... Well, no, because after the last election, Kai Meade swung...
Oh, that's right.
City
yeah.
council for the
that's
Democrats.
That's right. You're right. Yep.
But then Josh Daniels left the
yeah.
Democratic Party and became an independent. So now you've got two independents on city council and the same number of Democrats and Republicans. But I think most people feel that the two independents lean more Democrat,
yeah,
considering one was a former Democrat,
right,
and the other one ran against a Republican.
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah.
So really what I think people feel you have there is two more Democrats on city council than Republicans.
Sheep hiding in, or... Democrats hiding in sheep's clothing, I guess.
Well, it's interesting because Josh Daniels pretty much let us know why he felt he should be an independent instead of a Democrat.
Well, he's voted kind of independently anyway. And being a Democrat and going to many of the meetings, I would say he kind of acts like he was an independent, which is fine.
Now, do you think, though, that as a Democrat that this is a necessary thing, this committee?
Well, I think it is. It just to clear the air, you know, so that the Democrats can't say, oh, he was corrupt, and so the Republicans can't say, oh, it was just, they were just trying to hide that under the rug or something like that. Yeah, I think it's important.
You know, all this could really just boil down to, because I keep hearing it, inexperience.
Yeah.
In the job.
And if it had only been, you know, $10,000, maybe it would have been just as easy to forget about it. But well over $1 million, that's a lot of money. Somebody has to be accountable for that much money.
When did local politics become so partisan? Didn't used to be.
I think it did probably in at the beginning of the Trump era, I believe.
But you know what's interesting? That there are people in politics who we do know their political standing, who I don't think always fall in the party lines. Like, I don't think the sheriff has ever been a part, the past sheriff or the current sheriff. Mm-hmm. I've never noticed them really falling in party lines. I've never noticed...
I think a lot of people think law enforcement is more nonpartisan.
Well, and I've also never really noticed the prosecutor to fall into a party line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think they support their party, but I never see them making decisions or statements based upon, you know, their party.
Well, even at the Supreme Court level, there have been a few judgment calls that have gone against what you would consider the conservative view, and yet we know the conservatives own the Supreme Court 6-3, I believe.
Well, now, it is true that all the county commissioners are Republican, but I don't know that they're playing big-time politics. I really don't hear too much out of there.
Yeah, I can't say I have either.
So it'd be hard to say in that particular.
Yeah.
It seems like it really is all on city council in the last couple years.
Yeah, and in the state of Ohio, where we are so terribly gerrymandered and politicized, I think that's one of the reasons why you're seeing a lot of politics being played around all this crap, if you'll excuse the expression.
Well, for the last 2 years, it's all been the auditor, the mayor, and the city council.
Yeah.
In our city.
Aren't you tired of it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, are you tired of it because it is party politics? Or because there really is a problem? That's, you know, one party would say there's a problem, and the other party would say it's party politics.
If there really is a problem, I think we need to correct the problem. I don't think we need to throw people under buses, and I don't think we ought to chop people's heads off. We need to find out how we correct the problem, no matter which side it's on, and correct the problem. When I was running for office, I truly believed that if the vote came down that was... what a lot of people would thought would be a Republican response, and I thought it was the right thing to do, I was going to vote that way. I think there are a lot of politicians, Republican and Democrat, that are willing to vote for what they believe is the correct for their constituency.
But then I think there are a lot who are not.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And unfortunately, those are the ones that get a lot of publicity. The thing with Larry Householder, $60 million, and lots of concern about where all that money is going to. As a matter of fact, some of it went to my opponent. But I don't know. I'm kind of glad I got out of that business. It's kind of ugly.
Well, you know, why do you think, not necessarily yourself, but why do you think people run for office? What do you think is the impetus to do it?
I'm going to tell you why I ran for office, because I think it's part of the impetus. I ran for office, well, first of all, I was called and asked if I was interested in running for office, because they were trying to get 88 slots filled. Each county had its slot, and that's one of the reasons. But also, I ran for office because the question was put to me by the person that asked me to run, wouldn't you like to have good, fair, honest government? And yes, that was why I wanted to run for office. And I thought, a matter of fact, I told him, I said, there are certainly younger people that would do that. You don't need me. And he said, they couldn't find people that were interested, so they took me.
Do you think that happens a lot?
Well, I think it did then, because they were trying to fill slots. The bad thing about that is it kind of annoyed me, because then the Democratic Party did very little to help me run for office. And like you mentioned earlier, money, there was very little forthcoming from the Democratic Party, or for that matter, from Democratic people. I'll have to admit it, I am a terrible fundraiser. So,
don't people have to know that going in, though?
That they need the money?
They need the money.
Well, I was told I needed $100,000 to run for the office. I think I raised about five. And I'm the type of guy, if I call you and say, would you help me out? And you say, no, I'm not calling back. Well, that's not the way the party is, or the game is played. You have to just keep going, and eventually you wear people down. I can't do that. That's why I ran, quite frankly, on the idea of getting money out of politics. I believe we've got to find a way to get money out of the politics. Otherwise, we're going to continue to have corruption.
Why do you think people are more apt to give money to politicians than to charities?
I'm not. My wife and I give money to charities more. Well, in this last election, my wife gave a lot of money to Biden. But not a lot, but a lot for us since we are on Social Security. But I think people think when they're thinking about their pocketbook, they want to know what they're going to get for it. And if you vote for your favorite candidate, you're hoping that you will have some sway. I think a lot of people think, if I donate $10 to my favorite candidate, then I can go up and tell him I gave him money and he has to listen to me. I will guarantee you they don't for 10 bucks. But if you give money to charity, unless you're given big bucks and they're going to name a building after you, you get virtually nothing except for the satisfaction of giving to the charity.
Now, isn't that you know?
It's sad.
Well, that's always bothered a lot of people, that, you know, this whole building naming and things of that nature. I don't know. I don't even know if the people who give the money are all that comfortable with it.
Well, having been in intercollegiate athletics, which means I was in college administration, I've seen an awful lot of buildings named for people. And some people really like having their name on a building. But it's also part of the development game. They will go to somebody and say, If you only give us $1 million, we'll put your name on that building. And they make it kind of a prize, which is kind of a, I don't know. I told my, I have this dream that helps me get to sleep at night, where I win the lottery, and I plan out how much money I'm giving to all the different organizations that I want to help, and it makes me fall asleep faster. But one of the things I've often said in my daydreaming to the people that I'm giving the money to, I don't want my name on that building, or I don't want you to mention that I gave you this money.
Now, do you play the lotto?
No. So I will never win that money.
Well, this is really a zero chance. This is the worst chance than most people have.
Well, actually, I have played the lottery a few times. Now, if it ever gets to $300 million, I'm going to play it, because my dream is always that I win $300 million and I have to give half of it, which is the tax thing. So I'll have $150 million to spend. And one of the first places I do it is the food pantry here in town, and St. Jude's Hospital. I have a whole list of places I'm going to give the money to.
Boy, St. Jude's, I'll tell you, the work they do.
Oh, my goodness, for nothing.
For nothing.
Well, it's not for nothing.
Well, nobody's ever got a bill.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever got a bill in all the years they've been there.
And they even say, now, I don't know how true this is, they say you don't even spend your money for food to get there.
I think that's right.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Danny Thomas's dream.
Yeah. And it's such a great opportunity to help kids. I wish we could do that worldwide.
Well, I don't know why we can't.
Well, we can. But there is too much hate. There's too much political partisanship. And I'm talking about, like, the Taliban doesn't like people to give money to hospitals there because they want to be able to hold on to the control of the place, you know, and that's kind of one of the problems.
I don't know. It's just interesting to me that St. Jude's was developed, what, back in the 50s, 60s?
Yeah, somewhere around
and
there.
Nobody has ever been able to copy it. all these years later.
I'm not sure whether they haven't been able to or they just didn't want to, because there's such a motivational side to cash. And I think a lot of people, okay, I want to start a charity, but I don't want to lose money. And obviously they don't make money, they lose money.
Well, I know it's also a research center. Now, people forget that.
Yeah.
Where they have people down there. I think they had a Nobel laureate at one point there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, who was, you know, really working on trying to figure out what some of these cancers are caused by.
Right. There's nothing sadder than I can imagine than a little guy or a little girl with cancer. That just breaks my heart to even, I don't even want to talk about it.
No, it's a horrible thought, and that's why they do it in those commercials.
Yeah.
And it's very tough.
Yeah, yeah. And the commercials are hard to watch at times.
Oh, they are.
But, you know, the ones that are really hard for me to watch, and I'm not...
Not the animal ones.
It's the animal ones.
People, everybody says that, the animal ones. Now, see, here's the thing. I am an animal. I like animals. I'm just not a big pet.
Well, they don't like you.
Maybe not. But, you know, I just don't have pets because I'm not at home
a
lot.
You couldn't. Yeah. No, yeah. You're never home.
It'd be very difficult.
Yeah.
So, but that's the only reason. I don't dislike cats or dogs or anything like that. So, I guess maybe I'm just turned off to those commercials. I don't sit and watch them with the...
Yeah, we turn the sound down in my house. We don't turn them off. We just turn the sound down. Because I don't want to hear a little puppy being crying or anything. But, you know, it is kind of interesting. My little puppy dog died about a month ago. And I really want to get another dog, but I didn't think my wife wanted me to get a dog. But last night, we were sitting there, and there was nothing on TV that we wanted to watch, so I turned on YouTube, and I watched a couple of those little puppy dog, Dodo bird ads. They're not ads. They're just fun things that little dogs do. And I watched this one that was about, I don't know, 5 minutes long, and I just loved it. And I looked out of the corner of my eye, and my wife is staring at me like he wants another dog. Maybe she's getting the hint. I don't know.
You know, this is completely off subject, but I was just thinking YouTube triggered that in my mind. I watched an interview the other day, and normally I don't sit through an entire interview, especially when they're an hour on YouTube.
That's rough.
But it was at night, and there was really, I didn't have anything else to do, and it was Sidney Poitier.
Oh, I'd love to hear that one.
Yeah, and he was on, and I don't know how many, it can't be that old, but I don't think it was in the last couple years either, but probably in the last 5 years. And he's talking about some of his movies, and that was interesting. But the interviewer asked him, because he seems very sharp and still in pretty good health, why haven't you made any movies, and would you make another one if the right part came along? And he said no. And the interviewer said, why? Age? You know, what's the reason? And he said, because all of the people who made those movies and took those chances to make me a star are gone now. And I don't want to work below my level to, bother their work. I want it to stand as it was. I feel I did my best work, and now it would not be my best work because those people are gone and I am older.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was an interesting answer.
He was, I thought he was terrific. And I think I've seen every show he did. And I don't really follow particular people like that. But I think I did see every show he, well, probably not everyone, but most of them. And he was so sincere in his acting. Having been an actor for a few years, it's hard to be sincere without being overly dramatically sincere. And he could pull it off like you really believed he meant it honestly. I remember Dr. Sitton, who is my drama coach, used to say, "Kobel, you're not believable." And I never quite understood what that meant. Well, it meant that you could watch me and you'd didn't believe I was being honest.
Well, you know, the thing about acting that's interesting, you look at his, I'm going to say what his two biggest hits were, not that he didn't have other great movies, but it's In the Heat of the Night.
Of course.
But, and you got Rod Steiger. Oh, I mean, yeah. Who better to play against than Rod Steiger? That's a great, great role.
He was fairly young then, I believe.
Yeah, Steiger. I think about the same age.
Yeah.
And then you've got Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Yeah.
You got Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy.
Yeah.
Can't so these are not bad. These are not bad casts.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, he did. He did a lot of other great movies, but those are the ones that people will remember. And how do you do better than that?
Yeah. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner?
Yeah.
Which one was that?
That was the one where Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn played the parents of the white girl who was bringing Sidney Poitier, her boyfriend,
home.
That's
what I thought it was, yeah.
And there was The Adjustment. Oh. But you know what's so great about
fantastic
that movie?
Show.
It was made in, I think, the 60s, but they, you know, they didn't make Sidney Poitier and Katharine Hepburn out to be racist.
No.
They weren't. It wasn't so much. I mean, it was about color. That was the point of the movie. But they didn't use, to my remembrance, it's been a long time since I've seen the movie, they didn't use racial pejoratives.
No.
They didn't treat him any less. It was just, this is going to be hard on you. Don't do this. This is not the thing to do.
Yep. And it was very, very believable. I'll go back to that term again. Very believable that that's the way he would have reacted to what was going on. People don't react the way a lot of actors think they, you know, with giant motions and giant, you know, screaming and yelling and stuff like that. Quite often people, and he didn't scream and yell. I think he did yell a couple times in that, but most of the time it was the sorrow of watching that racism go on.
Well, In the Heat of the Night was very much about racism.
Yeah.
Here comes this black lawyer to this very segregated town. But again, the funny thing about that movie, it was the people in the town, Rod Steiger's character, who is the racist. Well, he wasn't, though. He really wasn't a racist. He was the one who was telling Sidney Poitier, you can't talk to these people like that. You can't do it. He was more trying to help him survive and say, don't you understand where you are? Don't you understand what you're facing? It was the people in the town, though, that slapped him and called him the racial pejoratives. It wasn't Rod Steiger. And I think that's what made that movie work.
But Rod Steiger's character was being a racist in that he was saying, don't you see what, you can't do that.
But he was also becoming his friend.
Yeah, he was becoming his friend, but he was also being, unfortunately, realistic about what was going on. You know?
Right, but don't you remember the train station scene when he's about to leave?
Yeah.
And Rod Steiger says, you're going to get yourself killed if you keep this up. You know, it may not be right that what he was doing was going to get himself killed, but Rod was just saying, listen, I know these people.
Yeah.
You got to stop this.
That's kind of an interesting side of racism. Having grown up in having played sports on teams that were probably at least 50% African American when I was in high school until we moved to Valparaiso, Indiana. I found that I'll even go back and say, when I was assistant athletic director at DePaul University, I had one of our ball players, who people probably know his name, Terry Cummings, came over to me and he said, don't you understand, you can't walk by Cabrini Green as a white guy. And I did it quite often. And he says, somebody's going to kill you. They tried to kill me.
Absolutely. And I think that is friendly.
It was. And Terry was the least racist person I ever knew. He was a minister, as a matter of fact. Became a minister. But he was also a multimillionaire basketball player. But it's interesting. It also shows that we don't really understand each other yet. We try. And I keep fighting with myself. I have good friends that are African American, and I will say something to them and say, oh, that was stupid. It's being racist without being racist. And there are racist things that we do because we're just ignorant.
Well, I don't know. I just, coming back to acting, which is where this started with Sidney Poitier, I've always found that the best actors, to me, don't look like they're acting.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. That's the believability.
Yeah. And I think if you try to act, that's when you're not believable.
Well, the two best shows that I ever did was You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, and I was Charlie Brown. And I did that well because you could overplay that. You didn't have to be honest. But the second, I was Nick in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. And you didn't have to work very hard to get intense. And by being intense, it wasn't over-the-top intense. It was just your body was intense. I don't know if you ever saw Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, but Nick is the husband of the girl that they meet with. Being honest is kind of that made it easy for me to be honest because it was such an intense show. I've done other shows, Shakespeare. I'm terrible at Shakespeare because I can't be honest with him because I don't understand him.
Well, one of the reasons we're having this conversation is that you know, the Oscars were Sunday, although it was very subdued, quiet, and we've talked about acting now, and I think most people's predictions for who was going to win did win, but it really did become a very political show. Now,
it has for several years.
Yeah, and I, you know, that particular part of it, I am not somebody who says that actors cannot have opinions. Actors are people, and they're American citizens like everybody else. I just don't know if at the Academy Awards or the Emmy Awards, that's the best place to make your political stance, because that night really is about the craft. You're being rewarded, usually amongst five other people. You don't know till that night that you're going to get the award. And the audience is made up of people of all different politics, and some people who are totally apolitical, and there are some people who watch that show not to get a political speech. So I mean, you can't stop it because people can say what they want. That's freedom of speech. But I don't like it on award shows.
Well, you know, I'm kind of torn on that. I understand that this is maybe the biggest platform some of
and
these people
and I think that's why they do it.
Yeah. And I think it's okay to a point. But it's a lot. You can distill what you have to say in maybe a paragraph rather than ranting and going on. Some of these go on for, you know, 5 minutes, and it's just embarrassing when it goes that long.
You know, I can understand why people are angry, and I can understand why they feel the way they do, and I don't know why people get mad at people in the entertainment industry for having an opinion. LeBron James certainly has his own opinion as of late, and he got in trouble for it the last time he did it, for a case here in Ohio. But you know what? It still makes the papers. You don't have to give LeBron James an award for his statements to make the papers. So I often wonder why these people are choosing that moment to do it, because certainly if they made a strong statement, it would make the papers. Or is LeBron James just a different bird?
It's kind of interesting, and I keep thinking of Kaepernick. He was maybe still a very good athlete, but he hasn't had a chance to make his statement because he made his statement too early in his career, and so he's been run into the ground by whoever ran him into the ground. Our former president was one.
But a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Oh, yeah, tons of people.
But you know what? Again, he did not make his speech He became famous for that. Now, see, that's an interesting thing as well, and we've only got 10 minutes, and we'll never get through this, but, see, Colin Kaepernick, and I used to have this discussion with Satch Sullinger, Colin Kaepernick became famous for that, the yes. kneeling. Now, people will say that he was a very good football player, and he was well-known. I had no idea who he was.
Well, he wasn't the top.
No, he wasn't a star.
No.
Wasn't a star. And unlike somebody, Muhammad Ali was a star when he started to speak out against the Vietnam War, and it cost him.
It did.
They stripped him of his belt.
Yeah.
Took him, said he could not fight. That's the difference to me. You know, Muhammad Ali will be known as a great boxer because he already was established as that when he made his political opinions. Colin Kaepernick, no matter what he does, is always going to be known for the stance he made because he was not an established person when he made it.
Well, and that's all timing. What he protested was a timing thing. He saw the need to protest at the point that he did, but he wasn't to the point where he was going to have a big enough stage to make it nobody gave a darn about it because he wasn't a huge star. Had he been LeBron James taking a knee, it would have been completely different. I guarantee.
Well, what about LeBron James? I mean, he's really catching the flack this week up until then, he had been speaking out and people had been very much with him. And then the thing happens here in Columbus, a state that he's very familiar with, obviously, for a lot of reasons. And he jumps the gun and makes the speech on Twitter clearly before the video came out because he took the post down.
Yeah.
And now he's getting some heat for it.
Well, it doesn't make any difference how brave or how well-known you are. If you jump the gun, sometimes you're going to get, people are going to kick you. There are a lot of people that do not like LeBron James. Number one, he's a black man. He's huge. He's been great since he was 16 years old. He left Cleveland. How can you leave Cleveland?
Well, but in this particular case, I mean, he had made a lot of statements, I think, in regard to George Floyd. I don't remember him taking flack like this one.
Yeah, I'm not sure he was quite as clear in his LeBron James.
See, this is why, and you know, a lot of people jumped the gun on that one before seeing the video. That was why we really needed to see the tape there.
Yeah.
Because when you see the girl with a knife, and I'm not saying, again, it's right or wrong, it's a tough call.
Yeah.
But
and if they slow it down, it's even more clear.
So it becomes a tough call. And I don't know. I mean, the investigation, it's my understanding the BCI is investigating it, and it's my understanding that I think they're the major group, but that the officer's on paid leave at this point. So, you know, I guess we'll find out something.
And it didn't help that so many other similar incidents have happened all in a cluster.
Didn't it happen the day of the verdict?
Yes.
Was it the day or the
yeah,
day
I believe
of?
It. No, I think it was of. The day of.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're gonna have a reckoning here someday soon, if we haven't already had it. We've got to start finding ways to listen to each other. I've been talking about that on my show, Progressive Life, the whole time I've had the show. We've got to learn to listen to each other. You may disagree with us, I may disagree with you, but listen and let's talk about it because we get nowhere by getting angry at people.
I want to bring this up because we didn't bring it up last week, and okay. I slipped my mind, so this is a little bit of a delayed story, but we're only going to talk about it for 5 minutes, but okay. I'm only going to do it because it involves our congressman, Jim Jordan.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he was questioning Dr. Fauci, which became a pretty much a viral video and yeah. on everywhere last week or the week before, you know, it's It's very interesting. If you didn't see it, he's questioning Dr. Fauci and kind of talking over him, and it's a heated conversation. And the chair is trying to move past it.
Trying to quiet him.
Quiet him down. Yeah. And then Maxine Waters, who's also on the committee, speaks up and told him to shut his mouth.
Yeah, she did.
Now, I can see why this would make Democrats very happy. Because Maxine Waters has become she's become Auntie Maxine. She calls herself Auntie Maxine in the Democratic Party. But she really shouldn't have done that.
No, I'm not a big Maxine fan. I think she's done some wrong things there. But Jordan had no right to be talking.
No, I think that's a valid thing to say, is that he had went over his time. But if the chair can't control it, he shouldn't be the chair. It wasn't her job to tell him to shut his mouth.
Well, I agree. I kind of agree with that. But I don't think the chair was going to do it. And I think she had just gotten fed up with a jerk, which he is, over-talking everybody. And he's done it several times at several different situations.
But can you imagine when they were questioning, do you remember when they were questioning people in the Trump administration, the Democrats? Can you imagine if Jordan had told Maxine Waters to shut her mouth?
Well, I'm trying to remember. I do remember Kamala basically telling Jordan to shut up.
Right, but don't you remember when Maxine had was it Mnuchin? But she had a back where she kept saying, reclaiming my time, reclaiming
it
my time.
It was Mnuchin.
Yeah. Now, what if Jordan had spoke? What if I'm not even sure if he was on that committee, but
I don't know.
What if a Republican had told her, shut your mouth, we get it? I don't think that would have went over well.
No, but this one didn't go over well either.
No, but you know, again, what channel you watch? MSNBC had her on, and isn't this great? And it's anti-Maxine, and let's go ahead. And
that's
Fox,
why I listen to CNN more than
MSNBC. And CNN had it right, and Fox News went, oh, there's old Big Mouth Maxine again, we don't need this. And CNN just played the footage, and they did say she shouldn't have done it. We can understand why she was frustrated, but that's not her job. She shouldn't have done it.
Right.
And that's...
The criticism should have gone toward the chair as opposed to towards Jordan.
Right, and that she got involved is why she took
who the chair of that committee was.
You know, he was... I don't think he wanted to...
Was it Cox?
Trying to remember, an older guy.
Well,
but I think he did not. I think he was trying to be polite.
You do?
No. The chair.
Oh yeah.
The chair was trying to be polite, and I do think that. You know what? Listen, I know where we live, and I know what the vaccination rate is around here. And if somebody's sent there to represent their people, Jordan was representing the people who elected him.
Yeah, I guess.
He was. I mean, do you disagree with that?
I agree with he was sent there by those people. But I also know that his district has been so gerrymandered that his district is not expression of Ohio people.
Not the state, but of this district. I mean, you know, and I'm looking at city council
it's
now.
It's changing, by the way, this district.
Well, and if it, you know, but I think at this point, if he wants to be reelected, if he's speaking for the people that the 70-60% that put him there, that's what they're saying.
And if you'll remember, Shannon, who ran against him in this last election, was defeated by the same amount that all the rest of the Democrats were.
So, you know, he's doing... I have to believe whether you... And this is my final thing for today. Whether or not you agree with Jim Jordan or not, you've got to say, if you live in his district, that he represents the majority of the people here. In his district. Gerrymandered as it might be, when he's winning by 60% margins by saying the stuff that he does, that must be popular stuff.
It's popular in this district, even if I disagree with it.
Right, absolutely. And it's just like, you know, we talked about it. Do you question and vote the way you want to, or the people who sent you there? And if it's the people who sent you there, then he's doing his job.
That's a question I've asked students since I was 30 years old.
But I can just tell you, if somebody, I'm trying to even think of a male, so it's not even a male female thing, but if somebody would have said shut your mouth to, oh, let's see here, who's a,
I'm trying to think if anybody else has done that
before. Yeah, I'm trying to think of somebody who's on the line, outspoken. You couldn't do it. I really don't think, I never remember, to be honest with you, a Republican telling a Democrat to shut their mouth in a public hearing.
I don't either.
Now, I've heard people crack down on Ted Cruz. I've heard people crack down on Jim Jordan. I've heard people crack down on certainly people involved with President Trump. But I never, and Al Franken used to get very animated. I don't remember anybody saying, shut your mouth.
No, I don't either.
So there you go.
Well, I don't know that's true. I just don't remember.
Dr. Feinman, is it true or not?
Yeah, we'll ask.
The Progressive Life with Dr. Feinman and Glenn Coble right after this. I give him top billing there over
here. Very good, very good.
12, 10 to 1 p.m. And, of course, offbeat news and trivia with Nate Redmond, 4 to 5, and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6 to 7. I'm out of here for this day, but stay tuned. More programming.
I'm dreaming too. A dream that couldn't be sweeter. I seen you both go up to heaven. Welcome by St. Peter. I waited and waited and waited around, and oh, I got so lonely. I didn't think you was coming back. So I got up and I ate the bologna.
To legendary stand-up comic, Marty Allen.
You know, Marty, one day we'll flip. You can host the show.
Oh, okay.
I think it would work okay. I think you could handle that.
Well, I'd love it. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, we'll do
but
that.
But I'm not changing my name. It's going to be Marty Allen. I can't go on and say, I'm Marty Spears.
Legendary confetti-throwing comedian Rip Taylor.
Well, tell me about the sparkly jackets. Where did they come from?
Cleveland.
Okay. Well.